Before I begin, let me advise those that are watching in webcast land about the sermon. I'm going to be playing a song early on in the sermon, and you can listen to it on YouTube. So if you want to tune in, because we can't broadcast it because of the copyright regulations. So when we're playing that song here in Tucson, the sound will be off. So if you're in webcast land, you won't hear it. But if you go to YouTube and pull this song up, it's a song entitled Unanswered Prayer by Garth Brooks. You can find it on YouTube. We will be displaying the lyrics, though. So if you're tuning in and you want to watch and just listen, look at the lyrics, you can do that. Now the sermon. I am going to take you on another nostalgic trip today. I guess Mr. Buchanan's many references to his Ambassador College experiences has stimulated some of my thoughts about my past. I didn't go to Bricket Wood, I went to Pasadena. I helped close Bricket Wood, though, many, many years later. When I was at Ambassador College back in the 70s, there was an interesting room or rooms that were installed or designated in each one of the dorms on the campus in Pasadena. I had two brothers who lived in those dorms, and they told me about these rooms. The room wasn't very big, and it didn't have any windows, chairs, and essentially didn't hardly have anything else. I was a married student at that time. Both of my brothers were single students, so they lived in these dorms, but I wasn't. Some of the dorms had several of these rooms in them. I was actually told by one of my instructors that I had to go into one of those rooms and experience it for myself since I wasn't living on campus. No, they weren't bathrooms or restrooms. They were somewhat soundproofed rooms. These little rooms were called prayer closets. When I was a student, every student living in a dorm was expected to spend at least 20 to 30 minutes a day in these prayer closets praying. After being around a lot of these single guys for a long period of time, I'd ask them, so how's it going with the prayer closet? He said, well, I fall asleep in mine every day. So you get up in the morning, you try to pray for 30 minutes, and you can't do it sometimes. I remember one time when I was discussing establishing goals for ourselves in a sermon, one individual said his goal was to work up to 10 minutes of prayer a day. That was his goal, to get up to 10 minutes a day. I've also had people tell me that the more they pray, the worse things get. That may or may not be true. But some people have had those kinds of experiences. I know you've probably all heard sermons on the subject of prayer over the years, but let me ask you a couple of questions. Does having a prayer answered make you happy? Think about that. Does an unanswered prayer make you sad or anxious? Okay, webcasters, here it comes. It's interesting that in 1990, country music star Garth Brooks wrote and released a number one song that he entitled Unanswered Prayers. According to Brooks, the song was based on a true story. Man, this is a quote from Garth Brooks, man, Unanswered Prayers was a big part of my heart that went out on that record. A true life thing that happened to Sandy, was his wife and myself. In October of 1989, I saw my old high school flame on a trip back home. And I can say this now, and at that time I couldn't. For the first 2 years of my married life, I really thought the girl that was for me was still that girl that I met way back in high school. And now, man, just the realization that what you have is the best for you and the best you could ever do in your lifetime. It sure makes you sleep well at night. I want to play his song now. Listen to the words and you can follow along by watching the lyrics. This is the song, Unanswered Prayer by Garth Brooks. Asked about writing this song, he said, "Pat Alger and I worked on this song quite a long time without a hook, without the line. We passed it by another songwriter and friend, Larry Bastian. It was as if it was meant to be. Larry, his wife Myrna, and I were taking a walk down 18th Avenue, and he looked at me and said, 'Oh, that's simple.'" This song should be called Unanswered Prayers, because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. This is probably the truest song I've ever been involved with as a songwriter. This actually happened to my wife and me when we went back home to Oklahoma. Every time I sing this song, it teaches me the same lesson. Happiness isn't getting what you want. It's wanting what you've got. There's a huge, huge lesson here, folks, and I hope we can get it. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Back here somewhere, there it is. Like Garth Brooks, many people have thought that if they can have or do or become something that they want, that will bring them happiness. We've been addressing a number of aspects of drawing closer to God and Jesus Christ lately, as well as during the feast this year. Several weeks ago, we saw the power of the scriptures to transform lives. In another sermon, we saw our importance to God. We also, in yet another sermon, saw the power of repentance in our lives, the way it was with David in his life. And in a couple months ago or so, we saw how faith can empower us as Christians. In a first of several, let's look at a scripture here in Job chapter 5 and see what it says about achieving happiness in our lives. I and others have stated in the past that happiness is a choice. And there's some truth to that. Today I want us to look at how happiness can be an actual outcome of other things that we do with our lives. Let's begin here in Job 5 and just verse 17. This is Job's friend Eliphaz trying to get Job to see the important aspect of life. Job 5:17. "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty." Then he goes on to show how happiness comes from being corrected or being taught the right path of life by God. He also points out that this correction comes from studying, as well as living the scriptures and developing faith and coming to repentance. All those other aspects of life that we've learned about. He's pointing out that living God's way will also involve course corrections to bring us to perfection. The course corrections sometimes aren't the most pleasant things to be going through. Listen to how we are happy when God is involved in our lives. Verse 18. "For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles, yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you." In other words, he's always there. Now, we've had some prayer requests for individuals that are members of God's church that are suffering. Some of them really suffering. I mean, one's fearful of having lung cancer. The other one possibly of having to go through another colon surgery, which has got to be traumatic. We've got people that are suffering because they've had issues going on in their lives. Praying for one another and helping one another and encouraging one another can be hard to do sometimes. But we have to keep being reminded God and Jesus Christ are always there. They're observing, watching, helping, and guiding. Verse 20, "In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. For you shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. Because of God's involvement in our lives, our faith has been really strengthened. And sometimes I don't think we look at it that way. So much so that we have the kind of confidence in all of these traumatic aspects of our lives. I mean, do we see ourselves getting drawn down because we're going through some kind of trauma? Or do we look at it and say, you know, Christ is there with me. God's there with me. They're going to strengthen me. They're going to hold me up. They're going to give me some more encouragement. They get put some more smiles on my face, some more joy in my life. I'll get through this. Or do we go down into despair and just want to die? People have gone to that point as well. So much we have this confidence when we keep going. Verse 22. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. This is like saying we actually believe that He, God, and Jesus Christ are always there. And we actually start to believe they will never leave nor forsake us. Do we really feel that deep down inside when we're going through trauma, going through difficulties, going through sadness, going through anxiety? Do we remind ourselves God and Jesus Christ are right there? Christ is standing there next to God, sitting there next to God at His right hand, and He's our advocate. Well, He knows we're going through this kind of pain and suffering. Don't you think He's nudging God the Father every once in a while and saying, hey, I know this is a tough part. I went through a lot of this. Cut Him some slack. Cut her some slack. Give Him some encouragement. Guide and direct them. Verse 25, you shall also know that your descendants shall be like many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched it out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourself. As Eliphaz told Job way back then, it is true. Hear it and know for yourself. That's being given to us. It is true. Hear it and know it for yourself. Showing us that we can learn from God and Jesus Christ through the scriptures. And hopefully we do that with some degree of regularity. Let's turn now over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 94. Psalm 94. This is a bit of a follow-up scripture to the one we just read in Job about being happy as a result of God's correction in our lives. Paul told us back in Hebrews 12, which I'm not going to go to, that God gets involved in our lives like this because we are His sons and daughters and because He loves us. It is one of the ways that God shows us that He does love us by keeping us on course, so to speak. Let's take a look here in Psalm 94 and a little closer look at this point. Psalm 94, let's pick it up in verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of his adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. These are spoken by David. I mean, these are words of encouragement David was probably using to encourage himself. That's why I believe a lot of these psalms were written by him. He learned because he read it and he believed it. Turn over a couple of pages to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. So we see happiness can be an outcome of having God involved in our lives, and part of it in such a way that He instructs and corrects us maybe. keeping us on track and helping us to continue to grow toward perfection. Let's look at another way that we can obtain blessings and happiness as an outcome of our Christian living. We can see a perspective once again that David had here in Psalm 128, even though this is a song of the ascents. It is interesting that we can actually manifest as happiness. It can manifest itself as happiness in our lives. Let's begin in Psalm 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. It's interesting, we had a discussion about trees in these sermonette today, and it's being played out here in Psalms again. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Fearing God and walking in his ways has an outcome. And the outcome is happiness and blessings. Go back a couple of pages to Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible. We have really spent a lot of time in the Psalms and Proverbs lately, but there's lots of good stuff here. And it doesn't hurt us to go back into them every once in a while. Here in Psalm 119, we continue in this thought that we just read in Psalm 128. Let's begin right at the beginning, Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Blessings, blessings, and more blessings. But it's tied to behavior. This one here is seeking God with our whole heart. We've heard it in many messages over the last several years. Where is our heart? It's something that each and every one of us can ask on a regular basis. It's a personal thing between us and God. Where is our heart? And as we've already seen, this leads to more happiness in our lives. And it's automatic. It just starts beginning to happen. Since we're still in the Psalms, let's go over a couple pages to one, Psalm 144 now. This is close to the end of the book. As we discussed in a recent message on praising God, we see that David is one of the best examples of showing appreciation toward God and toward his loving kindness. Psalm 144 is another psalm of David. We'll break into it here where David is telling God that he will sing praises to God for all that he has done and continues to do. He describes a way of life following and learning to love God, and then points out the outcome for having this kind of a way of life. Let's begin in Psalm 144 and verse 9. Psalm 144, 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lying words, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars, sculptures in palace and style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, there should be no outcry in the streets. This all reflects faith, folks. It reflects trust, it reflects commitment, and it reflects the power of living God's way of life. It's not a once a week thing. It's a 7 days a week thing. It's a 24/7 if you really stop and think about it. And if we start living more and more like God's way of life in the things that we do and the things that we say and the things that we pray about, the things that we study in the Bible, we will find ourselves. I have found myself, and I've talked to others who found themselves, whispering to God during the day, whispering to Jesus Christ during the day, saying a quick prayer when you're driving through the parking lot, saying a quick prayer when you're walking through the store, saying a prayer when you're driving somewhere. David knew it also had a phenomenal outcome. Verse 15. Happy. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. More happiness and more blessings. And David just kept repeating it and kept repeating it and kept repeating it. Let's take a look at another book. It's time, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's switch from David to the son Solomon. I guess it's in the genes. or is it? Who knows? Is it possible that they both were believers, followers, and those who trusted God in his words? I'd say yes at times. No matter how, they both had incredible perspectives and advice for all of us to live by. Here in Proverbs 3, we'll see a link between what we discussed a bit earlier and how it is tied to more ways to reach happiness in our lives. Let's pick it up in Proverbs 3 and verse 11. Proverbs 3 and verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Remember, that was in our first point today, God's direct involvement in our lives, giving us course corrections now and again. For whom the Lord loves, in verse 12, he corrects. Just as a father, the son whom he delights. Showing the correlation between family relationships and stories that we've heard about our own lives. Then we get introduced to a new point of drawing happiness into our lives. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Then he explains the power of wisdom, starting in verse 14. For her proceeds, wisdom, are better than the profits of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. That should be something that should be screaming in our minds. About what we are pursuing in life versus are we really pursuing wisdom? The wisdom and the understanding that can bring positiveness to our lives. I mean, Solomon's saying here, that's better than all this, anything else you could ever ask for. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is like a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. And how powerful is having and using wisdom? Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, Genesis 1:3. He founded the earth by understanding. He established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Since we're here in Proverbs, go over a few pages to Proverbs 14. We'll see yet another avenue of achieving happiness in our lives here. God understood that we will always have those who are poor among us. Christ himself mentioned this in his ministry. Just as the widow and fatherless have a special place in God's heart, so do the poor. Let's see what I mean and how our reaction to them can affect our lives. Let's look at Proverbs 14, and we'll begin in Proverbs 14 in verse 20. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, especially his poor neighbor, I might add. But he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Yep, being caring for and merciful to those less fortunate can actually bring happiness into our lives. I've experienced it, and I know many other people have experienced it in their lives. You just have a good feeling when you're able to do something like that. Go over a page or two to Proverbs 16. Here in Proverbs 16, we'll see several of these points all tied together that we've been talking about. It's amazing when we let the Bible teach us, which is part of the whole theme of this message. God, the God-breathed words of life, how they all fit together, and they all start making more and more sense. Not only fit together, but they can bring joy, blessings, and happiness into our lives. Let's begin in Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16, 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Don't you just love that saying? Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. A revitalized body. A revitalized mind. A strengthened approach to life. Let's look at one more Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 28. As we get ready to start wrapping it up here today. Proverbs 28. This point is one that will be a little harder to grasp and possibly agree with. It is one that is not easy for some people of God to accept, at least not all the time. Let's look at Proverbs 28 and just one little verse. Verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The word reverent here is also translated fearing, circumspect, fear of sinning, and revering God. I would propose that this verse is going to mean different things to different people. You can figure out what it means for you, but keep in mind it can bring more happiness into your life. Okay, a couple more scriptures. Go to New Testament now. Go to John 13. John chapter 13. Let's finish today with one of Christ's admonitions here in John 13. This is a passage that I'm admittedly taking out of context. This is where Jesus Christ set the example of washing the disciples' feet at his last Passover before his death. It is an example of service and submission, and I believe fits totally into the message today. Let's look at here in John 13 and let our Savior give us some good advice. We'll begin in John 13 in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Think about this. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, got down on his knees and washed all the disciples' feet. He said, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." And here's the kicker. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Knowing them is one thing. Living them is something completely different. Another blessing if we follow Christ's own instructions. Okay, now one last scripture. Flip over to James 1. James 1. James sort of wraps things all up for us as we discuss today. James seemed to be really good at that. He had several one-liners, if you will, in his epistle, and we've studied the book of James not a couple of years ago or something like that. They just stand out. You just never forget them. Let's look here at James 1 and see what I mean. Let's pick it up in James 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. I hope we all pay attention to that. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James puts it all on the line here. And if we believe the scriptures along with God and Jesus Christ, we will be blessed and have a much happier life. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.
Thank you, Mr. Horchak. All right, if everyone would please take your hymnals and rise, if you have one, or look towards the screen. We have another opportunity to sing praises to God here. So please rise, and we'll turn to hymn 42. We'll sing Praise the Eternal with the psalm, after which we'll have the closing prayer from Mr. Stephen Buchanan.
Eternal God, thank you for bringing us all together on another one of your beautiful Sabbath days. Thank you so much for both messages today. Help us to take in these lessons, learn and reflect on them, and apply them in our daily lives. Please be with us as we fellowship, and please bless the snacks and the fellowship after the service today. And of course, please be with those who can't be here today. Please heal them and bring them back to us as soon as possible. We ask for all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.